All right. Well, going into tonight's game, there was a fair amount of talk around the Toronto Blue Jays regarding Jose Berríos, who has not been his usual effective self in recent starts. The Jays had given him a prolonged break over the All-Star break. It was his first start in 10 days, at least 12 days maybe even. And as we mentioned, going into this start, there was, I don't know if I'd say a ton of concern around Jose Berríos, but as I mentioned, the performance hadn't been there recently. He's now walked 16 batters in his last five games after tonight's six-walk performance. And walks really the difference in this 4-2 win for Tampa Bay. Eight walks in total for the Rays in the night. Three of those came around to score. One of them in a two-run home run by Brandon Law. But, yes, it will be interesting to hear what John Schneider says after this game. Jose Berríos, we've talked about this. He's logged a lot of innings in, I think, there was somebody saying like the last seven seasons, I think he and Aaron Nola have pitched the most, logged the most innings in baseball. And you've really got to wonder. I know when you look at tonight's performance, the velocity was up generally, but the command wasn't there. He was scattering his pitches. He did not look at all comfortable. And of course, look, this is a concern going forward, obviously. We are near the trade deadline. We're a week away. And we anticipate that the Blue Jays will be trading Yusei Kikuchi. There is a chance, one would have to think, that they will get some action on Kevin Gausman and Chris Bassett. You know, whether or not that action turns into traction remains to be seen. But let's kind of look ahead here a little bit. I mean, one of the things that Jose Berríos, one of the things he hangs his hat on is consistency. The ability to give you a lot of innings. And for the Toronto Blue Jays moving forward, if in fact they do end up moving one or two starting pitchers, I mean, somebody's going to have to log innings the rest of the year. They are going to be, even if the Jays do move out a lot of bodies at the trade deadline, as far as I can tell, Shoali, I don't know if the commissioner's office has said anything to different. I still think they are going to allow the Blue Jays. They're going to make them play 162 this year. So somebody's going to have to start. So this is an area of real concern for the Blue Jays, who are already up against it. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays talk for a Tuesday night. The Blue Jays 4-2 losers to the Tampa Bay Rays in the first of a three-game series. Jeff Blair and Shoali along for the ride tonight. Again, the number's 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Can text us, 590-590. Give us your thoughts on the game tonight, on the Jays at the trade deadline. God knows we've been talking about that for the last 4 months, it seems. If you're looking for positives tonight, I think Chris LaRue and Ben Schulman touched on a couple of them. It does seem as if in Ryan Burr, Brendan Little, and Genesis Cabrera, it does seem as if John Schneider is maybe finding a little bit of a comfort zone with his middle relievers, something that's been an issue. And again, as we talk with the trade deadline, with the very real possibility that Trevor Richards and Jimmy Garcia are two of the pitchers that move. Again, somebody's going to have to pitch. Somebody's going to have to log those innings. Somebody's going to have to fill in those roles. And I don't know if you've looked lately, but the Jays minor league system isn't exactly chock-a-block with pitching. So you've got a couple of things going on right now for the Blue Jays. Not only are you looking at moving players out at the trade deadline, but you're also trying to find some answers. You're also trying to find some guys who can fill the spots that will be open during that time. So if you've got some thoughts on that, 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We're monitoring John Schneider's media availability, and we shall see if there's any further insight on Jose Berríos. For the Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., another home run. Justin Turner, a home run right behind him. Folks, that's the first time this year the Jays have hit back-to-back home runs, and if that doesn't tell you all you need to know about the 2024 season, I don't know what else does. That was the first home run since June 17th for Justin Turner, his first three-hit game since June 5th. Vladdy has four home runs. I'm sorry, his homers in four of his last five games. And Vladdy has turned a corner, which is, you know, as we're here right now, probably the most positive sign surrounding this particular team. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line. Shoali is monitoring the text line. A couple of stats here. Jose Berríos' ERA in his last 14 starts, that's since the end of April, is 551. He's given up 22 home runs. That is the most in Major League Baseball. Aaron Civale and Carlos Rodon both have given up 21. And in point of fact, we are seeing in this series two of the top three teams in baseball in terms of home runs allowed. Russ in New Jersey, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Russ?
Good evening, Jeff. How are you?
I mean, I'm doing okay, all things considered.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, you're looking next week, they're playing in Baltimore, and I'm wondering why I'm going, but Monday, doubleheader, the day before, that's the last two games that they'll play before the deadline.
I know.
Imagine being a doubleheader. And you don't know if you're in or you're out, you know, because I'm sure some deals will be made, you know, Monday and Tuesday. So I'll be there, you know. It'll be interesting.
Well, it'll be interesting. Say, you know what, it'll be interesting. All kidding aside, like Barker and I were talking about this today, and we're thinking, you know, we got like shows we've got to do till October. And I said, well, you know, I mean, we'll be paying attention to the other stuff going on, obviously. And the Baltimore Orioles are going to be a fascinating story The Orioles, I understand the Orioles, their window of opportunity, Russ. I mean, I don't have to tell you this. You're a good baseball fan. It's probably 5 or 6 years, given all their young players. But my goodness, if you are the Orioles and you look like you can go on a run this year, maybe this is the year you move one of those young guys to try to get another starting pitcher instead of waiting for next year or the year after that. I mean, strike when the iron's hot.
Yeah, it's a good point because I don't think the Yankees are that good.
I'm with you.
I don't think there's anyone in the American League. You know, Minnesota, Cleveland's a nice team, but they're beatable. They've got a lot of good pitching from the bullpen this year. Minnesota, I think they're the best team. Baltimore, I do think they're the best team. They with the young guys, you're going to have some slumps and you're going to go through it. They lost tonight to the Marlins, but that happens. But you're right. I think Baltimore, and that's what, you know, you bring up a good point, but on the Blue Jay end, you know, guys say, well, 2025, you know, maybe we can, you know, just compete for, you have to build a good team if you're going to compete with the Orioles, and I'm sure the Red Sox and the Yankees are going to build up their team. So this is back. Looks like the Orioles, you know, obviously, you know, they haven't been good in a long time, and they really haven't been consistently good since, you know, the 90s. But, you know, if you're going to build a team today, you're not going to win if you have you're sneaking in the third wild card. I know it does happen, but if you're not going to win, you have to build a team, you know. And like you said, Vladdy's been unbelievable lately. He's you just hope you can work something out with him. But my question to you, the last thing is, you know, there was a report from Nightingale and a bunch of people that Atkins is gone at the end of the season. When I see it, I'll believe it. But let's say you believe that. Why is he still here at this point when the season is over and you have a big trade deadline? And some of the guys you're not going to get much for. But why would he still be the GM? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing. It's a funny thing. Teams don't fire GMs in midseason anymore, it doesn't seem like. Like, I know the White Sox did last year. But by and large, teams don't fire GMs in season. I tend to think that a lot of the reason for that, Russ, is, you know, we talk about Ross Atkins, but let's be clear. The decision-making process surrounding this team involves his assistant GMs. There's a couple of them. And I think probably also to a certain degree involves Mark Shapiro. Now, I don't think Mark Shapiro gets involved in the decision whether or not to, you know, pull Aaron Sanchez off waivers or whatever. But I think some of the more significant decisions he's involved in. And, you know, I mean, I get your point. You know, I tried to tell people the other day, if you look on balance at the trades Ross Atkins has made at the trade deadline, they've been by and large okay. I mean, they got Teoscar Hernandez, you know, Robbie Ray and Taijuan Walker. Okay, that was a COVID year. I get that was an odd year. But really, in terms of the deals he's made at the trade deadline, how many clunkers have there been? Marcus Stroman? Yeah, you probably could have got more from Marcus Stroman at the trade deadline. Ross Atkins' work at the trade deadline, to me, isn't the issue. It's his work in the offseason. And I also think, and again, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here, but I also think that, you know, when you look at the totality of Ross Atkins' work, I mean, we're still talking about trading Teoscar and trading Gurriel and Varsho in the same offseason. That's the thing that I think is really, you know, that's the biggest mark against him. And then, you know, to make matters worse, trying to backfill with, you know, the Brandon Belts of the world and the Justin Turners of the world. So I guess what I'm saying is the biggest decision this organization is going to have to make is Bo and Vladdy. That's not a Ross Atkins decision. That's an everybody decision. That also, I would think, probably involves ownership. So I'm not certain those two big decisions are going to be made in season. I've never really bought into the idea that even healthy Bo is going to be traded in the middle of the season. So I'm just throwing that out there as kind of background for people. And I understand the sentiment. And quite frankly, look, I've said this, I'm surprised there weren't changes at the end of last season. I thought either John Schneider, or I'll be blunt, I've said this, I thought either John Schneider or Ross Atkins, one of the two would be fired at the end of last season, given the way the playoffs unwound and given the sort of that news conference that Ross had. But it was pretty clear, it was made pretty clear in Mark Shapiro's news conference that Ross had his full support because the team had made the playoffs, whatever it was, three of the last 6 years. Well, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. So let's see if not making the playoffs this year when you have the biggest payroll in team history, let's see if that changes the equation. Like, I'll be blunt. Do I think Ross Atkins is the GM of this team next year? No. Do I think he finishes out this year as GM? Yes, because I think that's the way this organization does business. And quite frankly, it's the way business is done in general in baseball right now. But we're at the point where if we're talking about major decisions, and I don't consider trading Jimmy Garcia for whatever to be a major decision. I'm talking about Bo and Vladdy. You know, let's be clear. Those are your major decisions right now. Everything else is, you know, you and I could make that decision for the most part. Those decisions are not a Ross Atkins decision. Those decisions are an everybody decision plus ownership. So that to me, and I think those are the things you make in the offseason. Tim in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. I am really baffled. I think in the last 4 or 5 years, the way that that Brandon Lau hits the Blue Jays.
You and like, me both, my friend.
Why do we pitch to him?
We
are a right-handed heavy lineup, and he's a left-handed hitter. you look at how many games he's won. You take away his home runs, and we've won a lot more games against Tampa.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I mean, you know what? He hit a home run today in the fifth inning. I don't know. Yeah, he's a really good player, but I mean, you can't. Tim, it seems to me you could pick a guy in every team when it comes to this team. And this team gives up a lot of home runs. There's a lot of guys who hit home runs off Blue Jays pitchers this year. I know what you're saying. But I don't think you can approach the Rays by looking at their lineup and saying, we can't let that guy beat us. They're a good lineup, but they're not a great lineup. They're, you know, offensively, their numbers with runners in scoring position are as bad as the Blue Jays. I mean, they've been one of the worst teams with runners in scoring position in the past month or so. So I don't, and that is the beauty of the Rays lineup, I think, in a lot of ways. And it was a team that had a pretty proficient lineup last year. And one of the beauties of it is it is kind of balanced. I don't think there's a guy you look at and say, that guy's not going to beat us. And I'm not a big believer. You know, Aaron Judge, yeah. Shohei Ohtani, yeah. You know, with all due respect to Brandon Lau, nice player. Do I go into the game thinking I'm not going to let him beat me? No. I've got to think that my pitcher, especially Jose Berríos, I've got to think he's able to handle him. We do have John Schneider on Jose Berríos' outing today. I want to play this clip show.
No, I don't think it was similar to last time. You know, still had, you know, a handful of strikeouts. I thought he came out with really good stuff. He had a good fastball and then kind of just lost his own, you know, really just unlike him. but I thought it was different just because he was getting swing and miss, and changeup was good. Breaking ball was all right. You know, just the hanger there for the homer. But, you know, it was kind of just a weird outing for him. You know, I thought he came out with good stuff and then just kind of lost his own.
Yeah, one of the concerns John Schneider had going into the start with Jose Berríos was that, at least as expressed to the reporters, was he wanted to see the sharpness of the breaking pitch. Like, let's be clear. I mean, there are red flags around Jose Berríos. I don't know if it's health. It wouldn't seem to be. Again, the velocity was up tonight. He did get some strikeouts. But it was obvious to anybody who has watched Jose Berríos pitch that mechanically he was not there tonight. And you could tell by his reaction to his pitches that something was going on. And I don't know, again, I don't know what it is, but man, I know the guy's a great athlete. He's in great shape. We talk about, he's a gold glove defender. He's one of the best athletes you're going to see for pitcher, but I mean, he's throwing a lot of pitches. And, you know, at some point, and I'm not saying his career is over or anything like that, but at some point you have to start looking at that. You know, we talked about that with Kevin Gausman. Same thing with Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman's pitched a lot in his career. At some point that runs out, right? At some point it just stops. Or if it doesn't stop, at some point it diminishes. And I don't think we're there yet with Jose Berríos, again, because of his age, but it's entirely possible that we're getting to the point in 2024 where you really have to, you know, you really have to take a bit of a, not a step back with him, but maybe view him in a different way. Because this is now, what, May, June, July? This is basically 3 months of, I mean, I don't know if you were going to get what you got in the first month of the year for the rest of the season, but it's 3 months of diminishing returns. It's 3 months of his best pitches being less effective. And now we're at the point where we seem to be focusing on mechanical issues. So, you know, not good by any stretch of the imagination, because this is the guy. I mean, this is the guy you got going forward. You've got him for another couple of years. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Let's take a break, come back with more of your calls. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, I don't think fatigue is a factor with him really ever, just with the way he takes care of himself. But I think he looked fresher for sure. You know, there's always two sides of it. Is it too much of a layoff, or is it good form? Again, we're erring on the side of, you know, giving him a little bit of a breather. But I didn't think it was fatigue. I don't think it ever is. Confident that he'll be back on track his next time through.
Well, there you go. That is John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, talking about Jose Berríos. And based on the recent performance, if anything, that's just going to maybe not create even more of an issue, but maybe muddy the waters a little bit with Jose Berríos. Although, again, as we said, 6 walks tonight, a career high, tying a career high. But velocity was up, and he did have a little more swing and miss, but just scattering the strike zone and clearly not comfortable with his mechanics in a 4-2 loss. to the Tampa Bay Rays. 590-590 is the text line. Show Ali alongside me here in our Toronto studio. Show, we've taken some calls. What are the folks in the text line saying? I bet they're all positive and optimistic.
Oh, yeah, you bet. You bet,
everybody's
Jeff.
Everybody's excited.
This one's from Kaylin in Toronto. Kaylin says, this year I'm struck by the what have you done for me lately trend in how we talk about players, Trevor Richards being the most recent example. How can management take a step back and make decisions in that context? For example, Vladdy was a bust until he was the best offensive piece. Bo was buzz the best. He's now pariah. Is this a sports media thing, or are front offices thinking about those guys and other players differently?
I mean, I don't know how you feel, Show. I don't think it's a sports media thing necessarily. Trevor Richards is a free agent. Trevor Richards was, I think, someone, you know, that if the Jays fell out of contention, which they have, it was an obvious choice to be traded. I don't think anybody's necessarily down in Trevor Richards. The performance hasn't been great lately, but put it this way, if the Jays were contending, if they were in a wild card spot or in the verge of a wild card spot, nobody would be talking, I don't think, about trading Trevor Richards. But that's where we are right now. And you either look at getting nothing for Trevor Richards and letting him walk as a free agent, maybe re-signing him, although I think we've seen this year the dangers of returning with the same bullpen, with the bullpen intact. Or you get something for him. I don't think anybody's down in Trevor Richards beyond that. Bo and Vladdy, yeah, look, people don't like to hear it, but, you know, most people in the industry will tell you that, and I'm not talking about the media industry, I'm talking about the baseball industry. A lot of people don't know what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is. They look back at that MVP caliber season, they wonder what's happened since. That's understandable. And I'm sure Blue Jays fans were doing the same thing at the start of the year. Now, Vladdy's recent hot streak, you know, would certainly makes him look a lot more like the guy that was an MVP caliber player. But let's also be clear. The last couple of years, this has not been Vladdy. This has been the best Vladdy's looked, I would argue, since his MVP season. So people are right to ask, Where was that before? I think people were right to ask when it wasn't happening. Why wasn't it happening? Because I think most people looked at Vladdy and thought he was entirely capable of doing this. But yeah, no, people get down a flavor of the month, whatever. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case here. And when it comes to the front office, I mean, the front office doesn't, you know, when you're contending, you view your players differently than when you're, what is it, 10 games out of first place. Like, it would be negligence if the Blue Jays looked at this thing and said, yeah, this is good, let's keep it going. That would be negligence because it's not good. It's not working. So you're looking at moving players out. Let's squeeze one more text in.
This one's from Greg in Brantford, who disagrees with your take on the GM being fired in season, Jeff. Greg says, I disagree with Jeff on that being fired in season. How many GMs have had 9 years of losing and not been fired midseason? None, because no team has kept a losing GM for 9 years. The sooner he goes, the better. And actually, this one kind of goes along with it, Jeff. Ryan and Arthur, I'm not a fan of cheering for losing, but at this point, is it not best to have them lose a bunch of games and have a better chance in next year's draft lottery?
I mean, have you seen this team's draft record?
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not.
Well, the other part of drafting, Jeff.
You don't want to play the draft lottery. This isn't the NBA. You don't want to play the draft lottery game. You might get Paul Skeens. You also might get a guy who's going to be 2 years away. You don't want to play the draft lottery game. I don't think you do.
Well, Jeff, when you look at the Orioles and their rebuild and the Astros before them, both of which I think involved Mike Elias, I want to say. But you look at how they did their rebuilds, and now the MLB has somewhat disincentivized the idea of tanking year over year. Like, the Jays might get a top, probably will get a top 10 pick next year, but the year after, I don't think they can.
Yeah.
Right? So is there really any point to tanking anymore? Probably not.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're tanking in baseball. It's just a stupid concept. Again, you may get Paul Skeens, or you may get a guy who is a 19-year-old high school player who's the best player in the draft. Who knows? Then what do you do? What if he's 2 or 3 years away? Like, it's not like the NBA where you can draft a guy and he's going to be with your team right away. It's generally not going to happen. You know, and the other thing people need to remember, too, when you look at the Houston Astros, it wasn't just that the Houston Astros tanked. It was that the Houston Astros went out and scouted the hell out of the international draft. Look at the guys they got internationally. You know, Buck Martinez talked about this at length. They got guys like Christian Javier, Framber Valdez, older guys, guys who weren't, you know, not young 16-year-old guys from the Dominican Republic. They got guys who were 18, 19, 19, 20, 21 from Venezuela. I mean, that's where the Astros did a lot of their good work. It had nothing to do with the fact that they tanked and everything to do with the fact that they were really strong, you know, in international signing and international scouting. That's another thing. This team just hasn't been able to do it. And again, as far as general managers and 9 losing seasons, I haven't had 9 losing seasons to begin with. But it's, you know, this front office is wired differently. Mark Shapiro has a different way of doing business than other people. I'm not sitting here saying that Ross Atkins shouldn't be fired. I mean, I think you can make a case that he should be fired. I don't think it's very hard to make a case that he should be fired, but, you know, I disagree with the sentiment that every team in baseball fires general managers in midseason. It just doesn't. Let's get Guy's call, and then we'll scoot for the night. Guy.
Hey, guys. Just a quick comment before I get to what I'm calling about. With Barrios, I don't think everyone should be surprised. The guy's a career 4 ERA. He's a middle type starter. He's like a number 3 guy. He's not a number 1 guy, so he's not even a number 2 guy. He never has been. So I just think that, you know, we got to take him for what he is. But saying that, just a segue into what I wanted to get to. Now, if I put my GM hat on here, if I'm the Jays, I'm targeting 2 teams at this trade deadline. And they're the 2 teams that probably have the most pressure to perform this year in the playoffs. And that's Baltimore and the Dodgers. Both these teams need starters. And with Kikuchi and maybe one of our 3 guys, whether it be Bassett, Barrios, or Gausman, I think you really got to target these 2 teams. They both have a top prospect in the Orioles with Samuel Vassallo as a catcher. And the Dodgers also have a high-end catcher. I can't remember his name. I think it's Dalton Rushing or something. And these guys are never going to catch for Baltimore or the Dodgers. Will Smith and Adley Rutschman aren't going anywhere. I think there is a trade to be made there. Both of them need starters, 2 starters. And they're both going to be dealing in a position of strength.
No, I was just going to jump in. You know what? If the LA Dodgers and the Orioles come away at this trade deadline with Chris Bassett or Jose Barrios, their fans will revolt. They're aiming much higher than that. Like the Dodgers and they've got to look at guys like Garrett Crochet, or Mason Miller in Oakland. Like, with all due respect to Chris Bassett and even Jose Barrios, Chris Bassett, to me, doesn't move the needle if you're the Baltimore Orioles.
But what about Kikuchi and Gausman? You get 2 guys. And again, what are you really dealing here? You're dealing a catcher that's never going to catch?
He may not catch for the Orioles. He may move to another position with the Orioles. Like, I get your point, but if you're the Baltimore Orioles, I don't know. Does Kevin Gausman pitch for you in the playoffs in a short series? I don't know. I mean, you've got Corbin Burns, you've got Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but, and even you say Kikuchi, is Yusei Kikuchi going to pitch in the playoffs for a good team? A lot of right-handed heavy teams in the playoffs. So I think we have to keep that in mind. I still think that a guy like Yusei Kikuchi, you're not going to get anybody's top prospect in return for any of those guys. I mean, you're just not. You're not even going to come close to getting an organization's top prospect for those 2 pitchers, or for even for Kikuchi. You know, as I've said, the deal that Ross Atkins will most likely, I mean, you're going to see a lot of sort of Steve Pierce for Santiago Espinal on the part of the Blue Jays at this deadline. Maybe, you know, you look back to the deal that brought Teoscar Hernandez here in the first place. Francisco Liriando for Aoki and Hernandez. I mean, Teoscar Hernandez was the and in the trade when that trade was made.
And he turned out to be a middle of the order hitter for the Blue Jays. So that, I think that's your best case scenario. I mean, I know Blue Jays fans, you know, you want a sexier name. I don't think any of those guys get you anything particularly sexy. I think you're going to get somebody's 5th to 10th prospect. And if you do a good job, maybe you get a couple of prospects from an organization, but you're not getting their top prospects for Chris Bassett, Kevin Gausman, or Yusei Kikuchi. You're just not. 4-2, the Blue Jays losing to the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll do it again tomorrow night. Want to thank Sho Ali and those of you who listened alongside us. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Mount Pearl and Cornerbrook, Newfoundland. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.